Appropriate for a Wednesday edition of the Sports Rush. Halfway there. Three down, two to go. I guess that's a halfway point. It's hump day. And a Wednesday edition of the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Caleb Hatch. We've got you connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Coming up on the show, we've got plenty of guests from IU and the Indiana Broadcasting Network. It's Austin Render, of course. He used to be with Homestead. He was the play-by-play voice for the Homestead High School Spartans when he was in high school. Now he does a lot covering Indiana University sports. He's now the women's basketball play-by-play voice. He's going to join us to talk about the matchup with the Hoosiers and Cincinnati coming up on Saturday. Also, Michael Franke. Comets have announced season tickets or single game tickets are now on sale. Season coming up shortly. We'll talk to Michael Franke about some of the protocols that are in place and how you can get your tickets for Comet Hockey. He joins us at 4:35. Hour number two, it is week number one with the coach, Coach D, Kevin Donnelly. He'll join us at 5:20. And then Justin Kenny from OPS and OutsideTheHuddle.net. We'll talk high school football. Some big matchups on the schedule coming up this week, including two games in the SAC that will create some separation. I don't know how we define this Friday, but the games between Carroll and Dwenger and the game that we'll be at with Snyder at Homestead, the losers of those two games essentially will eliminate themselves, I think, from contention in the Summit Athletic Conference because it will be their second conference loss. And when you start to look at all the different tiebreaker scenarios, it just would not be good with two losses. So teams are playing to keep their title hopes alive. That's what it's all about this week with Carroll at Bishop Dwenger, Snyder at Homestead. Of course, the Panthers are one game behind everybody else because they had their game scratched last week against Southside. Does the extra week of rest mean anything? Does it bring rust? Does it bring rest? We'll see, because Homestead had that tough game on the road at Bishop Dwenger last Friday night, a game we were at, and Homestead was impressive in the 37-21 win over the Bishop Dwenger Saints. So Homestead still trying to stay within a game of the Bishop Lewers Knights, who own the head-to-head tiebreaker against Homestead. But if you have three teams that tie, then you have a tiebreaker that could be somebody beats Lewers, Lewers beats Homestead, Homestead beats the somebody else, and you could end up with basically tri-champions. So that's kind of what Homestead is hoping for at this point. They would need help. Lewers on their schedule still has Bishop Dwenger and Snyder coming up. That would be the best chance, I think, for the Bishop Lewers Knights to take a loss. But if you get two losses, and that's what's at stake this weekend, probably out of the SAC race. We'll talk to Justin Kenny about all the matchups coming up this weekend. We'll have him on at 5:35. So, yeah, we're busy today. And, in fact, just a little while ago, earlier this afternoon, the Horizon League announced their 2021-2022 men's basketball conference schedule. Now, this has been delayed. It's been reworked. It's finally finalized. And it was released earlier this afternoon. Mastodons got a kind of an odd schedule. They start with the two games in early December, because the league is going to be playing 22 conference games. You'll play all 11 opponents in the Horizon League twice. Play them home and away. But the Dons will play two early December games. They do get both of those games at home, but they also have to play two of the top teams in the Horizon League, Northern Kentucky and Wright State. And those two games will take place at Purdue Fort Wayne. Trying to see if they've actually released where the games are going to be played, because I think in most cases these games are going to be played at the Memorial Coliseum for Horizon League play. I think there might be one conference game that'll be played at the Gates Center, but other than that, I think almost all of these games are going to be played at the Coliseum. Although, you know, they were flipping some Thursday Saturdays to Friday Sundays. They're trying to accommodate ESPN, who they just got the big renewal with on the contract, to make sure Friday night games would be available for ESPN to pick up and televise nationally. But here's the oddity of this schedule. You get the two home games. Well, then that means you've still got 20 conference games to play. The Mastodons will start the post-Christmas portion of their conference schedule with five straight on the road. Now, that means out of the remaining 15 conference games, you're going to have, what, 11 of them at home? No, that's not the right math. 9 of them at home. But here's the other thing. 4 of the last 4 games on their schedule are on the road. So if you take the, if you forget about the 2 games that are taking place in early December, just look at the bulk of the conference schedule from post-Christmas until the end of February, what you've got is 5 games to start, all on the road. 5-game trip, you go to IUPUI, starts at UIC, then IUPUI, Cleveland State, Youngstown State, Robert Morris. Those 5 start the Mastodon's Horizon League schedule post-Christmas. Well, then you end the season with 4 straight road games. That wraps up the season late February, which means in between, you've got a group of 11 games, 9 of them are at home. So the Mastodons from January 13th through February 14th will have a one-month period where they'll play 9 of their 11 Horizon League games on their home floor. The only 2 games they will have during that period that will be on the road will be in Wisconsin. They'll go to Milwaukee and Green Bay for a weekend road trip. Other than that, 9 out of the 11 will be at home. So the Mastodons have their schedule complete. You can find it at gomastodons.com as the Dons get prepped for their Horizon League schedule. Last year, it was kind of odd the way it was played out, where teams came in. You played 2 games against the same opponent in the same location. So there's a lot of Horizon League teams that are going to make their first appearance in Fort Wayne this year. By the way, speaking of the Horizon League and fellow Horizon League member, UIC, University of Illinois Chicago, that is who the Mastodons will open their Horizon League schedule with after post-Christmas. Like we said, they've got the 2 home games, Northern Kentucky and Wright State, in early December. But UIC is the landing spot for Jalen Jackson. He announced yesterday in a press conference out at Northrop High School that he has decided on the Flames for his basketball future. Don't know if I was surprised. I guess I had no idea, so it's hard to be surprised when you really don't feel like you have a grasp on which way he's leaning or where he might be going. A lot of people will say, oh, well, you know, another one that slips away from the Mastodons. Well, you know what? It's tough to keep kids at home. Kids just have this natural instinct to think that, you know, college is a chance to get away, get on your own, and that, you know, it seems odd that the hometown program might be the best landing spot. You just feel like, okay, there's one school at home, there's 350 that are outside of town. Surely the percentages are the right school for me isn't the one in my backyard. But anyway, Jalen Jackson ends up choosing UIC, so at least we will see him here at least one time annually when the Dons take on the UIC Flames. But congratulations to Jalen on his college decision. Another big one is coming up tonight, 6:30, Central Noble High School. We'll find out Connor Essejian and where he is going to end up landing. There is Wisconsin, Minnesota, Wake Forest, Loyola of Chicago, Creighton, Butler, Mastodons. Caleb, I know we've talked about this before, and we've tried to kind of analyze where we think he will end up. And you know, there's so many different scenarios. The relationship is so strong with him and the Mastodons coaching staff that I think there will always be an opportunity to play at Purdue Fort Wayne, whether it is the announcement tonight or whether it is something where at some point he transfers and wants to get back home. It's a very, very strong relationship. And the Dons were first on him. They were the first ones to offer him a Division I scholarship offer. So I don't think, I just don't know whether that's the pick. There's a lot of pressure because all of a sudden the offers ramped up significantly during the summer when he started to get looks from a lot of the power conference teams. And first, I think it was Wake Forest, then Minnesota, Wisconsin, Butler, Creighton. I think Creighton may have been the second one to offer, but a lot of big time offers. But we'll find out what Connor Essejian does coming up at about 6:30 tonight. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Love to hear what you've got on your mind on this Sports Wednesday. 46862. Talk about high school football, the importance and significance of some of the big games this week. Of course, we are at Homestead. Snyder will be at Homestead. East Noble will be hosting Leo. That's a huge contest that will perhaps decide a champion in the Northeast 8. But right now it's time to find out. How do I have this week's high school football power rankings? We'll start our top 10 at number 10. I've got the Norwell Knights. This team has surprised me. I thought the graduation of some of the key players in key positions was going to be too much for Norwell to overcome, but you've got to be impressed with what Josh Gerber has done down in Uniondale. And Norwell continues to play well. They struggle against the two Giants, but that just tells you how good East Noble and Leo, how good those two teams really are. But Norwell comes in at number 10. At number 9, the Eastside Blazers. I don't think they're playing their best football right now, but I think they will be playing good football come week 10. But right now, they might be a little bit vulnerable, and they've got a big one against the Garrett Railroaders coming up on Friday. But I got Eastside at number 9. At number 8, the Adams Central Flying Jets. I really kind of feel like no one's going to take them down during the regular season. This is a special team. When you get classes like this in Class 1A, you can ride them a long way. I mean, all the way to LOS. Just ask the neighbors to the south, South Adams, what they did last year. Adams Central kind of has that special group right now. Love the two-headed monster in the backfield. A lot of players that play both ways, but right now they've stayed healthy, and so Adams Central is at number 8. At number 7, they slipped a bit, had a chance to see them measured up against some of the top elite teams in our area, and the Bishop Dwenger Saints have dropped to number 7 in my high school football power rankings this week. We're not able to consistently move the football against the Homestead defense. We'll see what they do against Carroll this Friday night. I would expect pretty good bounce back and a determined effort from Bishop Dwenger. But I think they are paying the price for that undersized front. Whether it's on the offensive line or defensive line, I just don't think they have the kind of power and size that they've had in the past. And it's going to hurt them against some of the biggies in the SAC. We saw it impact the game on Friday. We'll see what happens this week. But I've got Dwenger at number 7. At number 6, the Snyder Panthers. Kind of stuck on Snyder. They're like right there in the middle. They could be really good. They could also be kind of disappointing. But the one thing we do know, Tyrese Brown is a terrific running back. That'll be the biggest challenge for the Homestead Spartans this week, is finding a way to contain Tyrese Brown. At number 5, the Carroll Chargers. This is just a football team that becomes more and more complete with each week. After Jeff Becker missed a week, the team was able to rally and win without him. Since then, the defense has been better. Jeff Becker has stepped in. He's been better. And the Carroll Chargers continue to impress. They're at number 5. At number 4, the East Noble Knights. Just a program that no matter what happens year after year, as far as graduations, they're still going to be right there in the mix. Luke Amstutz, one of the best in Northeast Indiana. And East Noble getting set to host the big game this Friday against Leo, who happens to be one spot higher than the East Noble Knights this week. Leo, number 3. Could it be an indication of my high school football picks of the week coming up tomorrow? We'll have to wait and see. At number 2, the Homestead Spartans. Pretty impressed with Homestead against Bishop Dwenger on the road last week. Homestead's at number 2. Couldn't let them leapfrog number 1, because right now that's the Bishop Lewis Knights. All challengers, they have won the challenge. And so Bishop Lewis, still unbeaten, still all alone leading the Summit Athletic Conference, is our number 1 team once again in the high school football power rankings for this week. We're going to take a timeout. We're going to return. We're going to talk IU football against Cincinnati. Austin Render will join us. He is all over plenty of different broadcast programs, whether it's pre-games, post-games, talk shows. He is covering it all down in Bloomington as he attends Indiana University, and he's going to join us to talk about kind of the atmosphere around campus right now, the excitement, anticipation for this game coming up on Saturday, and what do you think some of the keys might be? That's all coming up with Austin Render on the other side of the break. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Caleb Hatch. Coming up on the show, Michael Franke will join us to talk Comet hockey in just a few minutes. Also on the way in our next hour, it's our debut, our weekly debut with Kevin Donnelly, the coach of the St. Francis Cougars. He'll join us to talk about the Cougars getting their season underway. It's been 2 years since the Cougars have had fall football and a lot of new names taking over on the roster. We'll get the update with Coach D coming up at 5:20 this afternoon. Right now, we want to talk some college football. Big day for Indiana colleges with Purdue, of course, on the road at Notre Dame. Plenty of eyes will be on Notre Dame Stadium, but let's not forget what the Hoosiers have this Saturday. Noon kickoff against the Cincinnati Bearcats. Will their coach become the next coach of USC? Seems to be on the hot list on a lot of takes. Right now, we're going to talk about it with a former Homestead Spartan broadcaster who's now doing plenty of work as he attends Indiana University, including being the new voice of the Indiana University women's basketball team, Austin Render on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Good afternoon, Austin.
Good afternoon, Brett. Happy to be on the show. I think this is the first time here. I'm honored.
Well, you're a college student, so it probably is morning. We understand.
Not anymore.
we understand the schedule. So let's talk a little bit about the atmosphere in Bloomington. What is it like as the countdown begins for Cincinnati coming up on Saturday? Because it seems like the energy, the enthusiasm surrounding this game, the sellout crowd, that this probably in the last, 3 years or so, this is probably the biggest game on campus.
I think so, and I would have loved to see what it would have been like had they beaten Iowa week one. But putting that aside, Hoosier fans are still very excited about this. I thought that Iowa result might hurt things, and then they show up with 47,500 people, which, again, a sellout is just over 50,000. So it was just shy of a full crowd for an Idaho game in week one, or the opener at home. The student section was as big as I've ever seen it, especially for an FCS opponent. So there is a ton of excitement around here. And you have to keep in mind, two of the classes at IU, both freshmen and sophomores, have not been to an IU football game until this past weekend. So 50% of the IU students were going to their first game last week. So there is a ton of excitement. It's normally like that for basketball around here, but it has certainly shifted.
How do you get tickets as a student at IU? I know they sell them. They're not free to students, but do you have to enter a raffle? Do you have to put in a request? How are tickets sold?
You can pretty much go and grab them. The biggest way they are sold is at orientation. So when students are going through the orientation process, they're just like, hey, do you want to throw season tickets on your bursar bill? And that's kind of where they sell most of them. But it's not... Basketball is a little bit more of like, hey, throw your name in the hat and see which games you get. But in football, it's just like, hey, let's get as many students in there as we can.
Awesome. Austin Render is joining us here on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. When you look at this matchup, of course, Indiana already has taken on a ranked opponent, as you mentioned, Iowa. It was on the road, game one. Michael Penix coming back from an injury. He never looked real... I guess he looked rusty the entire game. He just never looked real comfortable in that opener against Iowa. What did you see with Michael Penix in game two, and why is there maybe optimism that he can find himself and it can be a different outcome against Cincinnati?
Well, generally, I came out of Idaho concerned. I didn't get a ton of positivity in the passing game from the Idaho game. Again, Tuttle out. Gained him on one play. It wasn't a great night for Michael Penix, but I think it was also, there wasn't a ton of play calling in the passing game. They held the ball on the ground a lot. They decided we're going to try and establish the run, get the offensive line comfortable, because let's be honest, that was not a good showing in Iowa City by the offensive line. So I think that was the big focus, was let's establish the run. Now, Penix had some really good throws. I think of the one in the corner of the end zone to Swinton. That was just a gorgeous ball into the, just dropped into the back corner. And that's kind of what I want to see more of from him. I think it's time that he is a really good deep ball thrower, and he throws the ball hard, he throws the ball deep. But his next step is throwing the ball with some touch, throwing the ball with some finesse, able to kind of loft one into a tight window down the sideline instead of throwing a heater where the guy's got to raise his hands up super high and try and hold on to a fastball. So I think that's the next step for Michael Penix, is if he can get some touch and really start to dial those sideline throws across the field, that's the type of stuff that will take him and this offense to the next level.
It's a very experienced Cincinnati team, solid on both sides of the football. What are some of the concerns and keys for IU Saturday?
I mean, for me, it comes down to third downs. This year, Indiana is converting 39% of its third downs. And it honestly didn't get a lot better. I think there was 7 for 15 against Idaho, which isn't terrible, but still not good. And it results in 13 for 33 on the season. But defensively, they are doing a magnificent job. They are 7 for 26. Opponents are converting on third downs against Indiana. Staying on the field for the offense is going to be the number one key. Not having drives that stall out quickly, because this game, when it comes down to it, will be won by one of these two defenses, and it's going to be which offense can stay on the field the longest to give their defense that rest. Because if Indiana keeps going three and out, the defense is going to get tired. It's going to wear down. Desmond Ridder, they've got a really good Alabama transfer at running back. This Cincinnati team, like you said, is loaded in every position. So to me, it comes down to Indiana making those third down conversions, staying ahead of the chains, not falling behind in the second and long, third and longs, and converting and keeping some long drives. They had an 18-play drive that started the Idaho game. Not saying every drive is going to go for 18 plays, but that's the type of stuff you want to see from this Indiana team. Cincinnati, when they played Murray State last week, was just flustered by Murray State's lack of tempo. Murray State huddled and took almost every second of the play clock on every play, and Cincinnati was flustered by it. They admitted it. They didn't like it. If Indiana wants to win this game, they've got to slow it down, methodical offensive possessions, and let their defense rest on the sideline.
It'll be fascinating to watch coming up this weekend. Should be a fun weekend down in Bloomington. Austin, appreciate you taking time out to join us today. We'll promise we'll have you on again, whether it's football, basketball. We'll put you in the Rolodex. We'll have you come on and join us later.
Well, Brad, I really appreciate it. We're looking forward to it. Should be a great atmosphere on Saturday.
Thank you very much. Austin Render joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Used to be the play-by-play voice for the Homestead Spartans. Of course, our friend Adam Schenkel, who used to work here, runs such a great media program out at Homestead. I don't need to actually sell the program to anyone, but Austin Render, a product of that program. They've had some really good talent come through there. And he's doing big things down in Bloomington now. And I started to notice he's doing podcasts. He's writing about the Hoosiers. He's got women's basketball on the agenda this winter. So he's got a career that's already starting. I should have asked him. You know what we'll have to put on the list next time, Caleb, is we'll have to ask him, has he met Mark Cuban? I mean, you go to that program, there's a lot of Mark Cuban money involved in that program. I wonder, I'd have to think if he's been there, what's he been there, 3 years? Had to have met Mark Cuban by now. We'll have to get the lowdown on that next time we have Austin Render on. Right now, we're going to take a timeout because we got Michael Franke standing by. Comets president will join us to talk about season, or not only season tickets, I guess, but I know there's information about picking up your season tickets. We've also got single game tickets that have gone on sale. And we'll talk about the camp that's going to get started here in a couple of weeks. It's time for Comet Hockey, and it's time to talk to Michael Franke when we return on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. Brett Rump, Caleb Hatch, 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Questions, comments, or suggestions. Of course, anything on Comet Hockey, now would be the time, as we are joined on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline by Comets president Michael Franke. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon. How about those Bishop Lures Knights, everybody?
Well, they've looked good so far. I mean, I'm not going to say to book the tickets at Lucas Oil Stadium yet, but I think this team's on a mission. They've been real impressive. Love the makeup of the team. The question was whether or not they could handle the line of scrimmage. So far, so good. And as long as they can do that, they can go places because they've got the talent around them with the wideouts and with the running game. Carson Clark, love what they do. And I knew you were going to be ready and ready to pop that in on us today. Hey, Michael.
September 15th. Remember, September 15th, 2021. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Get your ticket. Get your tickets.
Go ahead. Buy them. Buy them.
Buy those tickets to Lucas Oil Stadium.
It's a done deal.
The Knights will be there.
It's a done deal. Who cares?
Yeah.
Michael Franke on our Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Michael, this is kind of a strange, of course, it's been a short off season, but, you know, having an off season where you have possession of the Kelly Cup, what happens to the Cup? Does it get a chance to take the Stanley Cup, you have the tradition where everybody gets a day with the Cup. What happened with the Cup this off season for the Comets?
Well, after it was nearly destroyed while the players were having fun, we had to send it back to the silversmith out east, and the trophy will be returning to Fort Wayne, Indiana this Friday, and we'll start touring it around a little bit and, of course, be ready for opening night, and then it'll take its place in the trophy case at the Coliseum until we have to turn it back in probably in January for the ECHL All-Star Game in Jacksonville.
Well, it was worth it. It was a very fun ride last year at a time, I think, when the entire community needed it and appreciated it, and it was so great to have the full house to actually win it. But the one thing about assembling the team last year, it was assembled in a completely different way than what would be a normal season. And so you go into this season with the short off season. Hey, this was tough. You kept David and Ben really hopping, trying to work the personnel side of it. And in fact, they're still working it. But it's very tough when you have the number of players that were on last year's roster that had to go back to teams that had their rights, or some decided that they were going to head overseas, or some were going to head across the border to Canada. This has been a different offseason, almost to the extreme that the season was different last year.
No, absolutely. It's a good observation. Dave and Ben and Olivier have been turning over rocks here over the last couple months looking for guys. In all truthfulness, 27 teams in the ECHL right now, including us, we really don't know. None of us know what we have for this coming season. It will get back to the days of that we used to say, well, come holiday time, you're going to know what you have, if you've got enough or you need more. And I think that's where everybody's going to be this year. The number of players that retired from the sport during COVID is staggering. A lot of players went to Europe this year, this off season. Of course, we had a few guys who were contractually bound to other teams, but those teams didn't play last year, and now they have returned to their contracted teams. So, you know, it's just it's been a very, very strange off season. You know, I think they've put together the pieces of a good team, and they're both heading to the Vegas rookie camps this week out in Arizona, and they'll be working with the Golden Knights and Silver Knights people over the next 4 or 5 days regarding players coming in from that organization.
Let's talk about the fan experience. And, of course, season tickets, that has been closed up and the bow has been put on the box. But I did see where the Comets were making some announcements here in the last 24 hours or so about when fans can expect to actually get their season tickets.
Yes. It'll be kind of a usual deal for our season ticket holders. Be about a week prior to the exhibition game that they'll be able to pick up their tickets. So that is all pretty standard. but we wanted to put something out just to make sure. A lot of our gracious season ticket holders moved their season tickets from last year, since we didn't have any, to this year. And quite frankly, that was the impetus for us to be able to play last year, because that meant that they were moving their investment forward with us too. So that was huge. And so yeah, the season ticket deal is pretty much normal. Walk-up tickets went on sale for all the games today. Regarding the mandating of masks to start, we're just listening to the science on all this right now. We're hopeful that that restriction will be relaxed as time goes on, and I'm sure it will. But we wanted people to be aware of what we may be dealing with right at the very beginning of the season before they buy their tickets. We just felt that was the right thing to do. So the masks will be worn at the games. Unless you're drinking or eating, you'll need to wear your masks in the hallway. There'll be social distancing at the concession stands only, but we will be at full capacity in the arena. Sanitizing stations, the clear bag policy will be in play to start the season. But again, you know, this could all go back to normal in 6 or 8 weeks. So that's what we're hoping for, but we wanted to be make sure everybody was aware before they started buying their tickets game to game.
Well, and I think that's something important for the fans to know. As far as protocols for the team, I know that was a challenge to keep guys healthy last year, and there was even some question as to some of the protocols the ECHL had in place. We all know about the lost home game and the game the Comets ended up having to forfeit. What is the ECHL, how are they establishing any kind of protocols? Because things seem different all across the country right now.
I think you're going to see a very similar protocol this year that you saw last year, at least to start the season. That is our perspective right now. There will be testing. We will be involved in the rapid test programming again. We had 775 tests done last year, and not one turned out to be positive. So I think we did it right. The game missed was based on the players feeling that they were unsafe playing Indianapolis, but all the protocol was met, and that game should have been played. But the players made that decision, and that's why the game had to be forfeit. But we're looking at it this year, a very similar circumstances. The locker room areas will be quadrant off again from the fans, just so that we don't have that interaction to begin the season. And the media will be dealing with all the same type of protocols that we had last year, during the year. So, but again, I got to emphasize, we're hopeful that this is all going to slide back to normalcy at some point in time. Whether it's early November, mid-November, late November, whatever it might be, we're just trying to be extra cautious right now. We're not trying to infringe on anyone's rights or liberties. That is the last thing from our mind. What we're trying to do here is we're just trying to create as safe of an atmosphere as humanly possible for our patrons. I've had some friends lose family members to COVID over the last 3 or 4 weeks. It's still a very dangerous situation, and we are listening to the people that are in the know. I'm obviously not smart enough to make those decisions on my own.
The impact it has on season tickets, how were season ticket sales going into this season? Is it something you're going to try to make up with single game tickets?
No, the season ticket numbers are up from 2 years ago. So it's been an unbelievable off season. Several hundred new season ticket holders, and it's just amazing. It's amazing. I think the spring run to the playoffs and winning the championship obviously was a major component of this. And so, yeah, the numbers are up and sponsorships are up. It's just been a, you know, and I've said this a million times before, you know, our fans, our corporate sponsors, all the people that invest in Comet Hockey, you know, they're the real champions here. They're the ones that, you know, keep the engine running with the Comets.
Just around the corner, the start of yet another season of Comet Hockey. What are we at, 70?
72 games. Oh, 70th anniversary. Yes, this is number 70 this year. And a lot of fun things are planned. There's going to be a 70th anniversary booklet that will be out when the season starts that will encompass the entire history of this franchise. It's probably a once-in-a-lifetime book. And for those, I think you may have already talked about this, but Blake Sebring just put out his 1992-93 championship book in paperback called Perfect. And it is, if you're a Comet fan, it's definitely a must-have book.
Especially if you were there in the seats to cheer that team on, and it brings you fond memories, because I remember following that team through the playoffs. Pretty special, and great book to check out.
Every player was contacted by Blake Sebring, and there's comments and information on every guy that played here that year.
Amazing. Can't wait to get my copy and get a chance to read it. Michael, looking forward to it, and good luck with the ticket sales. Opening night, what night is it?
The 23rd of October. Where are you this weekend?
We're going to be out at Homestead. We've got Snyder Homestead this weekend.
Oh, that's about as big a game as there'll be all year.
Well, you've got Snyder Homestead, you've got Carroll and Dwenger, and the losers of those games probably will eliminate themselves from contention in the Summit Athletic Conference. So we're going to have some
fun this
week.
It'll be exciting.
It's always exciting on Friday nights in the fall, and it just means we're getting closer and closer to Comet Hockey. So we'll keep...
There you go. I'll have to come out to Pizza Hut one of these Friday nights.
There you go. Count on it. I'll fix you up. All right, Michael Franke, Team President, Fort Wayne Comets, joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Plenty coming up in the second hour of the Sports Rush on this Wednesday edition, Hump Day edition. Of course, Colts get back to practice earlier today. A lot of question marks around the Indianapolis Colts as they get set for the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday. A couple of those questions are left and right tackle. Don't know who is going to be lining up on Sunday yet. Eric Fisher is anxious to get back out there, said he feels fine, but he's leaving the decision on whether he'll be eligible and available to play up to the trainers and medical staff. Meanwhile, Braden Smith dealing with a foot injury of some type. Also, we know that Xavier Rhodes and Quentin Nelson did not practice, no designation as to what kept them out. We would assume for Xavier Rhodes, it's the calf injury that he's been dealing with. But and for Quentin Nelson, it could just be a day of rest. That's not uncommon for some of the veteran players to have an extra day off during the week. But we'll talk plenty Colts football as we count down to the Rams game coming up this Sunday. And also, Coach D will join us. Kevin Donnelly, it's his first visit of the year. Cougars will be in action coming up this Saturday, starting the season on the road at Judson University. And we'll get the rundown of what this Cougars team is like, how it's made up, some of the new names and faces and key places. That's Kevin Donnelly coming up at 5:20. And Justin Kenny to talk high school football. Big weekend of high school football coming up in week 5 this Friday night. And Justin Kenny will join us to talk about it at 5:35. Sports Rush, taking you home on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.